welcome to Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in the central Catskill region. So we know that there are cutbacks in programs and funding for health care and social services. These cutbacks are escalating at the federal level under the Trump administration and this Congress, whether it be advising and it's actually calls for more local action to support the most vulnerable among us in the Catskills. And that need is likely escalating, whether it be advising people on how to maintain their enrollment in Medicaid or the Supplemental Nutrition Assistant Program, or SNAP, or help with housing assistance. Delaware Opportunities is a lifeline organization that provides this kind of assistance to people in Delaware County. And Dr. Shelley Bartow is the executive director of Delaware Opportunities. And I'm delighted to welcome her back to Health Cetera in the Catskills today to talk about these issues. And Shelley, thank you so much for coming back on.
Well, thanks for having me.
So let's start with, just for people who may not know what Delaware Opportunities is, tell them what you are.
So Delaware Opportunities is not your typical nonprofit. Mm-hmm. It's actually Delaware County's Community Action Agency. Community Action Agencies exist all over the country. Very similar missions to help those living in poverty or who are struggling gain some level of self-sufficiency. And we have been here doing this work since 1965.
Wow.
As the county's community action agency. And so we're often tasked with helping those most vulnerable in our community.
And I have to say, I think I shared this with you at some point, Shelley. I was, I chair a national advisory committee for it's actually the Rush University Center for the Integration of Health and Social Services. And the committee, the National Advisory Committee, is comprised of people from various aspects of health and social services and leaders from across the country in these areas. And they were talking about what we need in this country is to be able to go to one place for people to get the health and social services, referrals, and what have you in sort of a one-stop shop. And I said, hey, I've got that in Delaware County. We have Delaware Opportunities. And you have so much under your umbrella. Tell us about the services you provide.
So it's interesting because I think a lot of times when people think about Delaware Opportunities, they think of us as like an arm of the county. We're our own standalone agency. But I think the other thing that happens is people know about programs like Head Start and WIC and HEAP and weatherization and Section 8, but they don't necessarily associate those programs with Delaware Opportunities. Mm-hmm. And those are all the kinds of programs and services and then some that we're providing here. And to your point, the benefit in Delaware County, and I think this happened over time just because of geography and the number of agencies that do this kind of work, we became kind of the catch-all for all of these different services. And in early 2000, when this building in Hamden was built, it brought everything in one under one roof to one place. And so people physically or even virtually or on the phone can connect with one person here and have multiple needs met simultaneously, or come up with a plan for how to get those needs met versus having to go from agency to agency to agency and retell their story or their challenges and hope that they qualify for services. It makes it a lot easier for people to get to some level of self-sufficiency quicker and help address particularly those most urgent and critical needs that they might be facing.
Now, I was impressed with the number of services that you offered related to housing, since housing is such an issue for us as well as elsewhere in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about these various housing supports that you provide.
So they kind of change over time, kind of depending on funding that's available. But we provide housing in two different ways, and the best way I would describe it is one that's a more kind of long-term sustainable support, whereas the other is more for urgent, critical needs for those that are unhoused or facing homelessness in the moment or imminently and need some assistance until they can get to a place where they can maybe apply and receive Section 8 assistance, which might extend for a longer period of time. So we have a variety of different sources that support rental subsidies, utility payments, security deposits, things like that. And it really depends on a person's circumstances in terms of what might make the most sense for them based on how they qualify. But in addition to those rental assistant type programs, we do a number of different programs focused on, energy efficient measures in houses, home repairs. We just recently received an award for a roof replacement program. In the past, we've had things like mobile home replacement programs. It just kind of depends on funds that are available. I know we have quite a few grant applications in the works to support the housing needs for those in the community. And so, you know, as we hear about those, we certainly will communicate it. But usually there's something, we have something going on here that can help somebody with those housing-related needs. And if we don't, we often, if there is one, have some suggestion for where to send somebody or where to refer them to for the assistance that they need.
Shelley, are you seeing an increase in the need for housing supports, for access to healthy foods, for help with transportation? Are you seeing more needs as some of these cuts come in with some of the services?
Yeah, it's interesting. Since COVID, I think it hasn't slowed down, and it's like it's kind of been one thing after another that has been kind of exacerbating this growing need. And in Delaware County, because these are really serious issues to tackle, often we see like housing and transportation and food insecurity, these challenges kind of all blending together. And so sometimes it becomes overwhelming for a person to know what to do to get assistance or where to even start. And I think those issues coupled with increasing needs for support around mental health and substance use services have just, it's just continued to grow the need in our local community beyond the capacity that we currently have to support all of those people that are in need.
Yeah, and I have to say that, you picked up the baton on the substance use disorder support. People with addictions and who are in, particularly in recovery or getting them into recovery, and you hired a fabulous person everybody loves, George Feaster.
Yeah.
Maybe say a little bit about what you're doing in that space.
So we recognized a few years ago that there was a gap. And we were seeing more and more people coming in with challenges around substance use disorder. And our in-the-field staff really didn't have the level of experience or expertise to address that particular need. And we, in addition to that, realized that there was also a gap in terms of trust. How do we help people with those needs trust us as a system that can help support them? And so at the time, we wanted to bring in a peer and start a peer program, really not knowing exactly what that could or would end up looking like. And with George's energy and experience and enthusiasm, we've really grown a network of peers that have been able to, find organizations that will hire them into positions where they can continue that peer work in the community. And our long-term dream, that this network shares, but George and I in particular, is to create a pipeline for new peers to connect them with organizations where they can provide that unique type of support that I'm not sure that people really understand quite yet what peers do or the benefit, but there's a lot of evidence to support that model.
Yes.
And we'd like to help grow that network. And I think what a great opportunity for people in recovery to turn their life around and to give back in a way that really is, you know, meaningful and rewarding to the community. And I'll say, like, I know while we've worked to figure out kind of how we grow that network, you know, they continue to meet and train in Georgia's everywhere. But we also, you know, we were speaking yesterday, and I think five or six of the peers that went through his initial training either work at our agency in other positions or work in other organizations in peer roles. And mm-hmm. so the model's kind of working on its own, even without us, you know, formalizing, like, this is what it's called and this is what you do. And so it's really awesome to see, and it's really amazing for me to watch my staff learn from George and his mm-hmm. peers and vice versa.
So one of the things that's standing out to me as you talk is that you meet people where they're at, you see what their needs are, and if it's not something that's already provided, if there's a significant number of people who share the same need, mm-hmm. that you look to find ways to meet that need. So you're constantly writing grants or begging for money, or
yeah. yep.
These are not services you charge for, right?
Right. So none of the services here are things that anybody pays for. They're all funded through grants or foundations or, you know, donations, things of that nature. But you're absolutely right. Like, I think one of the things that makes community action agencies so important in a community is our job and our mission really is to look at the needs in the community and make sure that the services that we're providing are aligning with those needs. And if there are unmet needs, is there a role for us to play to help address those needs? And we take that role over very seriously, and I think my staff here are very innovative and creative and really willing to try new and different things to try to address those needs, understanding that some of these things like transportation and food insecurity and housing are big, mm-hmm. and they really require a community-wide collaborative effort to address. Like, no one agency can fix these things on their own. And so, you know, I'm excited to, you know, be an agency that's part of these kinds of conversations and can help play a role in trying to move the needle in a more positive direction for our residents.
So, Shelley, I need to ask you about what's been in the newspapers in the last month, and that is you were providing meals for seniors in mm-hmm. our communities and actually taking meals to people's homes as well. Mm-hmm. And then there have been mixed reports in some of those news reports about the county taking those services and now providing them directly. And it sounded to me, what I read was that you hadn't gotten paid for the services you had provided. Can you clarify what's gone down with the senior meal program?
Ooh, Diana. yeah, I mean, listen, I work in a grant-funded, grant-driven environment. So funding comes and goes all the time. It happens. It's something that we have to be adaptable to. The county made the decision to pull the program back in-house. You know, we'd run it for 52 years, but that was they have new leadership, and that was a new vision that they had, and that was their choice to make. I think that sometimes, you know, communications don't always work the best that we want them to, which can make transitions like this difficult and can create narratives or information that just create confusion instead mm-hmm. of giving people the sense that, you know, I think the bottom line through all of this is the seniors are being fed.
Yeah.
They never stopped being fed, and that's ultimately what's most important to us, and I believe that's what's most important to the county. There was a concern about payment. I have to be honest and report that we have been paid through the end of March. We're waiting for payment for April, so that is moving, and we're hopeful that everything will transition quickly and appropriately, and this can all be put behind us. I think what's hard in small communities like ours, especially where everybody knows somebody is, it's like the game of telephone. Mm. The version of the story you hear is different than the version of the story I hear, and then we share that story, and then that version is different. And I think we've lost sight of what's most important, and that's what I just said about these big issues, like where we have to work collaboratively. You know, the county and Delaware Opportunities and all of our human service providers, we all have to work together to address these issues. So doing anything but working towards that isn't in anybody's best interest.
Well said. Well said. So what keeps you up at night?
Oh, gosh. So many things. You know, I think what keeps me up at night is I've been spending some time myself with a client. We have a client who needed a little extra support, and for whatever reason, she made a connection with me, and I've been spending some time with her, and it's been a long time since I provided any kind of like direct service. I've been a little bit removed from that for a while, and it reminded me of how difficult our systems are to navigate, and despite our best efforts, people really need help, and they need to be heard, and they need to be met with where they're at. And you know, I think to myself as I spend time with this woman, like, how would she do this if she didn't have somebody like me? You know, and I think that what keeps me up at night is sometimes, I don't know how to say this, like, it's like we think we're doing the right things, but are we getting it right? Are we really hearing and paying attention to what people are struggling with, and doing things that help them, not push them back further? So it's been a very eye-opening experience for me to be working so directly with her and just seeing the challenges that she has and how she has figured out how to navigate them on her own versus what I can do to assist her.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's kudos to you for doing that, for sort of being on the front line, and even if it's in just a small way, so that you're not losing touch with what are the experiences of people you're serving like, and can we meet those? And so kudos to you on that.
Thank you.
I also want you to say a little bit about the services that you provide. You mentioned the WIC program, for example. Talk a little bit about the services you provide for families, particularly families with children.
Oh, we have a lot of families with children. Of course we do. I'm sorry. We have a lot of services for families, WIC being one of them.
That's the food program.
Yep, that supports pregnant and parenting mothers and their children. We also have Healthy Families, which is a program that works with pregnant and parenting parents, really focused on around kind of the prevention of child abuse, and just healthy, positive parenting. We do a lot of things with like child care, whether it's resource and referral, connecting people to child care providers, making sure child care providers are providing safe, licensed appropriately, you know, safe spaces for children. We have some contracts with the county where we work specifically with youth. We have some mentoring programs. So there's a lot of things we do where we may be working with the youth in one program, and maybe the family in the whole family unit in another, or the parents in one and the child in another. So we have a lot of services that kind of overlap, which is really nice, because it just gives that family unit that many more supports to rely on, which I think is fabulous, because not everybody makes a connection with that one person they're working with. And so it doesn't, you know, we have the ability, I believe, to really meet people where they're at and have there be a match that works for the client in terms of whatever their goals are, you know, for moving forward.
Shelley, do you know the number of unique people, not repeat, but unique people that you serve in Delaware County every year?
Yeah, I shouldn't say I estimate. We have a data system. It's about 10,000, give or take. So that across all of the programs we serve, both on-site and off-site, it's about 10,000 individuals.
And we know that Delaware County has a little over 50,000 people in it. So you're serving one of every five. You're serving 20% of the population here.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you think about it, indirectly serving a lot more, because by providing rental support, we're supporting landlords who are members of our community. And providing daycare subsidies means we're supporting local daycare providers who are business owners who are also residents of the community. So there's a lot of indirect impact as well outside of those that are, you know, directly qualifying and receiving services.
Yeah. Well, Shelley, for you mentioned that you do take donations. Mm-hmm. For people who may be listening and want to support the work that you're doing, how would they do that?
Our website, which is www.DelawareOpportunities.org, has a donate button, so people can donate that way. I believe we started fairly recently. For people that follow us on Facebook, there's a donate button on all of our Facebook posts as well. People also can just call and just say, hey, I want to donate. What do I need to do? And we can help them that way as well. We make it as easy as possible. But those dollars, you know, support some of these gaps that we're talking about, and they help to make sure that we can reach as many people as possible with the resources that we have.
Yeah, and I know at one point we were talking about asking people, we did ask people on the air to make donations for gas cards for people who couldn't get to jobs or medical appointments.
Yeah, so we have that, and that's always welcome as well. We tend to ask for, just for what it's worth, gas only gift cards, because then people can't use it for other items at a gas station. We do have some funds for the summer to do some gas card giveaways for individuals that qualify at a particular income threshold. But what's hard, as you know, is in the past we might have given a $50 gift card and you could have gotten a tank of gas and maybe then, you know, put a little bit more in another time. Now $50 doesn't fill up your gas tank. So unfortunately, it means we get less gas cards. We help less people, but we want to be mindful of, like, what actually helps people. You know, if I give you a $25 gas card, is that really going to help you by the time you come here to pick it up and have to go back? So any support we get to help any of those things just means we serve more people.
So people can find out more about your services by going to DelawareOpportunities.org. And how would people get in touch with Delaware Opportunities to see if they're eligible for a service or to sign up for one?
They could just call our direct line, which is 607-746-1600.
One more time?
607-746-1600. Mm-hmm. People call all the time and aren't really sure who they're asking for, who they need, and our staff are really good at connecting with them with the right person who can help kind of triage whatever's going on and get them headed to the right person.
Well, Dr. Shelley Bautel, Executive Director of Delaware Opportunities, I have to say I'm a huge fan. I think the work you're doing is so important. We know that these kinds of social services and support services actually do more to promote the health of people than healthcare does. And so, and the evidence is there for that. So my feeling is we need to invest more in programs and service organizations like yours. And I really appreciate all that you're doing. And I appreciate you coming back on to Health Center and the Catskills today.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll have to have you back and do a deeper dive on some of these programs.
Okay,
how's
sounds
that?
Good.
All right, Shelley, thanks so much.
Yep,
Dr.
Bye-bye.
Shelley Bartel. All right, and I am a huge fan. This is not easy work, and she goes after that grant funding, and the fact that she's now seeing somebody, you know, one-on-one really is laudatory, because it really keeps somebody who's heading up an organization in touch with how things really are on the ground. And you've been listening to Health Center in the Catskills on WIOX Community Radio. I'm Diana Mason, and please have a great day. And, yeah, enjoy what's left of this one before it rains.
Mm-hmm.